He is risen. He is risen indeed, yes. It's the second week of the Easter season this Sunday, where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the resurrection, that's the key to what makes us Christians. Did you know that Muslims and Jews also believe in Jesus? Yeah, they believe that he was a prophet and a teacher and an all-around nice guy, but they don't believe that he's the risen Lord. In addition, many atheists and agnostics believe in Jesus, that he existed as a teacher and an important historical figure. But what sets us Christians apart from all others is that we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. So everyone who believes that Jesus rose from the dead is a Christian. But everyone who believes that he died, well, everyone believes that. It's only in his resurrected life that we can really lay hold of the salvation that he's made for us. He made a way for us to access God. And so by our faith in the risen Lord, we are saved from all of our bad choices. That's pretty good news. And by our faith, we become a disciple or a student or a member of the Lord Jesus Christ, which comes with a very specific job. We're told by Jesus to share our witness or our testimony with others. We're told to pass on the message of salvation in Christ to all those whom we meet. We are told to do this from generation to generation, throughout the ages, to anyone that we come across in our lives. This is the Great Commission that Jesus gives all of his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. But you know, there's a lot of misunderstanding, I think, about what all this witnessing or testimony stuff is really about. Because often we say, oh, well, that's evangelism. And then immediately something comes to our mind like some really loud charismatic preachers pounding on the pulpit and telling people to get saved. But I don't believe that words alone are good enough to pass on the testimony about Jesus Christ. In fact, I think that words are largely meaningless without actions. And I think that God agrees with me because I read it in the Bible. If you read James, you'll see that James says that as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds or works is dead. And dead faith is not sufficient to really convincingly witness to the resurrection of Jesus in our lives. Only a life of Christ-motivated actions leaves a good and lasting testimony. You know, you may already know this, but the word for witness or testimony in Greek is martyr, right? And we know a martyr is usually talked about as somebody that dies or gives up their life for their faith, which, of course, is the ultimate witness that you believe in the risen Lord, if you're willing to give up your life. Now, what kind of witness would you leave behind if you died right now or tomorrow? What kind of stuff would people say about you? Would people see in your deeds that you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Would they trust your witness? Would it be convincing? Some of you may know this already, but this week my family and I traveled to Wisconsin to bury my last living grandparent, my grandma Lois. And she was 92 years old, and she was a believer in the resurrected Lord and a lifelong member of the Presbyterian Church. As our family gathered together for the viewing on the evening before the funeral service, we had a prayer with the pastor of my grandmother's church, and then we opened the doors to receive friends and family and people from the community who wanted to come to pay respects to Lois and to, you know, express their condolences to my family. Somehow, I found myself right up front standing next to the big, giant board that was a collage of pictures of my grandmother. And since I was right by the door when all this started, I became the sort of unofficial greeter for all the people coming in, right? So I would introduce myself, and I would say thank you for coming, and as people waited in line to talk to all of my relatives, you know, they would often usually add in a story about Lois, and I would ask them how they knew Lois, and that usually came with the story as well. She had quite an interesting life. Apparently, farming out on the Bigfoot Prairie back in the 30s and 40s was a pretty exciting way to live. I learned all about how those farmers were a tight community. I learned about how my grandma Lois belonged to all kinds of clubs, which were really just traveling card games that moved from farm to farm each week. She loved to play card games. And also, she and my grandfather Ken apparently were known for their love of going out dancing. Now, folks remember my grandma from different things that she did in her life and different places that she lived, from side jobs that she worked when the farming was bad or after my grandparents sold their farm in 1979. You know, a few of the folks that came were from the congregation of the Presbyterian church that she attended in Harvard, Illinois, which apparently was the closest Presbyterian church to the prairie. Now, I heard many stories from many different people, but something about this whole thing stuck out to me, because I was kind of listening as people offered their condolences and shared their stories, and I was listening for what kind of witness they received from her life. I was looking to see, did anyone talk about her faith? And much to my surprise, nobody in that line said anything about Christ in her life at all. I mean, even the pastor at her in her funeral sermon did not really convincingly talk about how her life was a concrete witness to her faith in Jesus Christ. You know, I heard all kinds of good things about her and the fact that she accepted the seasons of life, like we read there are in Ecclesiastes, and that she had her other favorite scriptures that assured her that she would be with Christ. Now, perhaps being a pastor, I might be a little overly sensitive to issues of witness and testimony here, but I'm really sad that the funeral and the viewing of my grandmother's 92 years on this earth, and they didn't really clearly mention her witness to Jesus Christ in any way that I found to be convincing to myself. I mean, the closest thing that I saw was in her obituary, where it said that she was a Sunday school teacher at the church many years ago. And I mean, that is something, I suppose. But overall, this is really a big problem for me. See, for Christians, a funeral is not just supposed to be a celebration of somebody's life alone. Now, if you get your hands on a Presbyterian worship manual, you'll see that the funeral service is called a service of witness to the resurrection. A service of witness. In other words, we're supposed to talk about the way a person's life created a witness to the resurrected Lord. We're supposed to talk about the witness that we've received from God and the testimony of the person whom we are about to bury. The funeral service is meant to be a service of evangelism. See, both of our scriptures today are about witness and testimony to Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. First, we've got our favorite apostle, my favorite apostle, Doubting Thomas, and we've got him trying to, I don't know what he's trying to do, but he doesn't believe unless he sees what everyone else saw. And I don't know why he wasn't with the rest of the apostles. Maybe he was brushing his teeth. But we get this from the famous passage here. We get, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. And our other scripture this morning is also about our witness to the Lord Jesus Christ that's been passed down from Thomas and the rest of the apostles and all the women and the people that were gathered around Jesus while he was alive and saw him when he was resurrected. The whole first letter of John is explained as we read this sentence. We proclaim to you what we have seen and what we have heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, some people believe in the risen Lord without seeing him, and that's fantastic. They just believe the witness that has been passed down throughout the generations that they read in Holy Scripture, that's been transmitted from generation to generation through families and church congregations. These believers truly are blessed. They are. The Scriptures, after all, do contain everything that we need to know about the witness to Jesus Christ. All the information's there. How great would it be if people just read the Scriptures and believed? But more often than not, I believe people are more like our friend Thomas, often known as Doubting Thomas. Right? How we see Jesus is important to us, because we won't believe unless we see. And so for those of us, and I'm talking about myself, that are like Thomas, and they don't want to hear, they want to see, you know, show me, don't tell me, there's probably nothing that is more important than seeing people act in a way that shows that they believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I know there were lots of people like Thomas at my grandmother's funeral who could have used a convincing witness to see Jesus Christ, because they've heard it all before. Now, unless something miraculous happens, we can't actually see Jesus. We can't put our hands into the wounds of Christ like Thomas did and the apostles saw. In fact, we can only witness to Jesus to see Jesus in the actions of other people who say they believe in the risen Lord. Now, this is the message from the Scriptures for us this morning, and I think it's a very important message. It is that we really need to give some time and some energy into thinking about the witness to Jesus Christ that we give with our lives. The testimony, or the witness that we pass down to the next generation and to the people we meet, is of the utmost importance. Hey, people spend so much time and energy thinking about all the other things that are important in life to them, like making sure that their property is taken care of, right? I mean, people think of this as their legacy. And if somebody were to die without having some kind of a will or some kind of a testimony of what they want to do with their stuff, we would often call them foolish or reckless, right? What kind of testimony to Jesus will we leave behind? See, the funeral service, that's really one of the only times in our lives where our families come together and discuss spiritual things. I'm talking about in the culture at large here. And therefore, it's a very important time for us to witness to those present. It's important for those people that are going to be there to see the choices that we made and to understand that we made them because of our belief in the risen Lord. Now, my father had a best friend named Walter. Walter was my dad's business partner and a family friend for years. For most of Walter's life, he lived a pretty selfish life. I mean, he was raised Catholic and he believed that he was saved by Christ, but I don't think that that belief really showed much in his life. However, in his later years, he moved to Atlanta, Georgia, and his son became a very strong believer in Christ. Walter's son Brad witnessed to him, and then Walter saw that witness, and his life began to change as well. It made a dramatic change. I remember when it happened. He began to live for Jesus in noticeable ways. He was always seeking to be generous and to pass on the message of the risen Lord to others, to anyone that would listen, including my family. Now, this annoyed my father, who is Jewish, but, you know, that's probably a good thing. Unfortunately, though, about 7 years ago, Walter was killed in a motorcycle accident. Now, at his funeral service, Walter requested specifically that his service to be a service of evangelism and witness to the risen Lord. He made sure that people were going to talk about his faith and made sure that people would have an opportunity to get to know the Lord if they don't already have a relationship with him. It was powerful and it was moving. The actual deeds and life changes that Walter did after he really committed himself to his belief in Christ were highlighted in the service. And those actions made for a witness that I found to be really believable, a witness that was more than just words or actions without explanation. It was a good witness altogether. Now, I want you to think about for a second, what will happen when you die? What will happen when I die? Will our witness be believable? Will people see Jesus in our actions and our words and understand our belief? See, God has really done a lot for me in my life, and God has loved me greatly. I want to make sure that I use my funeral in a way that creates a believable witness to the risen Lord. So I'm going to invite you to do an exercise with me. It's kind of like homework, so sorry about that. Over the next few weeks, the scriptures follow John's first letter to the church. And this letter is a letter of witness to a skeptical world. So at the same time as I preach from this letter, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to plan my own funeral. I'm going to try to make sure that the funeral service does the best job that it can to try to prove with my actions that I believe in the risen Lord. Now, the purpose of this is not to make myself seem awesome, but rather to make Jesus seem awesome. So I invite you to participate in this exercise and do this along with me. Now, I have two goals for this exercise and for inviting you to do it with me. The first goal is to inspire you at whatever stage of life you're in to have a witness that is believable with both words and deeds that points people to the risen Lord. And the second goal is to help us all to see where God has loved us in our lives and where God has been faithful to us throughout our lives. So I'm going to break up my funeral planning here into two steps. The first step I'm going to do this week is I'm just going to make a list of concrete ways that I have tried to live my life for Jesus. That's the first step. And so I both challenge you and invite you to join me in doing that. Just sit down one of these days over the next week and make a list of actions that you think might convince other people that prove that you believe in Jesus, the risen Lord. Now, over the next week, I'm going to make this list, and we're going to put it together. And then, next week, I'm going to add in a statement of how I feel about Jesus, the risen Lord, and what he has done for me. But we'll talk about that more next week. Will people believe the witness that we leave behind? I mean, really, only God knows, and that is kind of out of our hands. But what we can do is we can do our best to present a compelling witness to Jesus, the risen Lord, in our lives, especially with our funeral, with our words, and with our actions, explaining how our lives point to Christ.